I had my teaching already done. And Craig comes into the room, and what you don't know is this God dreams process that we're in currently. We are dreaming about where we are supposed to be in 2025, and we've come up with a great plan, but it includes some groundwork. It includes some things that need to happen. So Craig and Sherry and Katrina actually got together, and they started crafting kind of a 101, 201, 301 kind of curriculum. But like, if you want to know who Whitewater is in a nutshell, this is what you're going to go through. And so Craig comes in, he says, hey, can we teach this sooner than later, these four classes that we're going to have? And I was like, well, that screws up the entire Good and Beautiful Life series I had planned. And I just sat there quietly brooding. I said, why not? So then the nice thing is all of my material is already done for me because they created it. I just have to find a way to make this not dry and boring for you. You're welcome. So I'm going to get a stool and I'm going to read to you. Okay? So at Whitewater, you're going to see we're different a little bit, but there are things that make us who we are that we don't fudge on, that we don't, that we actually have things to say. There's a lot of things that we don't have to say about things because we don't find them represented in Scripture, and we don't think that they're things to die on, hills to die on theologically. Make sense? You're welcome. Okay. So if you open the book of Genesis and you read the first line, in the beginning, God created, right? The heavens and the earth. Here, our frame of reference for how we are, who we are created on purpose for a purpose. And that's through God. A lot of people may not believe the same way, but here at Whitewater, when you come and you try to get a frame of reference from us or counseling or anything else, we're going to take you back to who created you? Why were you created? How you were created? Well, we won't take you there because that's gross. One evening, your mother and father, or morning or afternoon, whichever, right? We won't take you there. But we believe all of us were created for a purpose, on purpose, by God. God created everything. God created this earth. God created all the animals in this earth. We don't believe in this collision of stars and a big bang and this craziness that evolves from nothing and accidents and happenstance, right? We believe that God did all of this. Now, if you're like me, I'm a blind faith kind of guy. Anybody? I'm a blind faith kind of guy, so I read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then everything that follows with this creation speech is days, right? He did it in how many days? Anybody know? 6 days. God created the earth in 6 days. Now, let's get in the minutia of whether it was literal or figurative days, right? Some of us believe, I don't have any issue that God could do these things within 6 24-hour periods. God's awesome, right? God's a big God. I don't have any issue with that. But some of us do. And here's where it falls down, is if we remove God out of this equation, if we say God didn't create these things, this is where it falls down for you here. If this stuff just happened by itself, that's where it falls down for you here, because we're going to be in conflict because God did create. Now, what we're not going to argue with you about is, did God use evolution as a form to create this earth? Is a day an actual 24-hour period, or is a day 10,000 years, a million years? We don't know. I'm not going to argue with you about that. God very well could have used an evolutionary process that he set in motion, that he created, to bring us to where we are today. God very well could have done this all within 6 24-hour periods. Fair enough? Okay? But the key point is, did what? Created, right? Is there any argument here? If there is, come talk to us. We're approachable people. It's okay. It's okay. And God, speaking of God, this awesome being that created us. We see within Scripture, anytime you read from cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation, anybody done that, by the way? See, that's pretty sad. How many of you have been Christians for a long time and you've yet to read cover to cover what God's got to say in His Word? It's okay. This happened to me. I'm a preacher's kid. I'm a pastor's kid. I'm a third-gen pastor and baptized at the age of 11, and the first time I read Scripture cover to cover was probably in 2008. I'm 38 years old, okay? But when you read cover to cover, you start seeing God, this awesome being who created everything, represented in these three different persons. We see God, the Creator. We see Jesus, God in flesh. And we see the Holy Spirit, which is this helper that came. Now, the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God, they've all been around since the beginning of time. But we see them acting and functioning in different parts, right? Different parts of the same God. Now, that's kind of a confusing statement. You may have heard the word Trinity. Anybody ever hear that? In fact, if you graduated in 1999, chances are you're like me and have a Trinity symbol tattooed on yourself. This was my young youth mistake. I have a big Trinity, well, it's not even big, it doesn't even span my shoulders. That's how awesome this tattoo is, right? It's this Trinity symbol in the middle, and anybody know the band POD? Payable on Death, they were this Christian rap group. They're still awesome today, right? And it was on their cover, and I said, I gotta have that, right? It's a representation of the Trinity and the three parts of God. But if you're awesome, you have a tattoo of that. I do. Anybody else? Yes? I saw some hands. Yeah, you? No? No. You don't have a tattoo? You. I'm just going to call out anybody, all right? I'm going to assume that all you all have a tattoo of the Trinity symbol. But we believe that this God, Father, Son, Jesus, Holy Spirit, is one. And a way to sum all this up is there's a guy named Elmer Towns who Craig learned from in his college days. He's still in college right now. He's going for his master's. But he learned from a guy named Elmer Towns, and he characterizes it this way. The members of the Trinity are equal in nature, distinct in person, and subordinate in duties. They're all working together. They're all working together to make sense of this world for you and I. Make sense? Clear as mud? This is a brief overview, okay? But if you're here, this is what we believe. There's a lot of people that believe Jesus has no deity at all. He was just a good man. There's a lot of people that believe the Holy Spirit and gifts and such that come from the Holy Spirit is dead and doesn't exist. Now, I differ with that, but that's neither here nor there right now, okay? So we see this represented in Scripture. Father, God the Father, is creator and supreme authority over all things in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In Acts 17:24 through 25, it says, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." And so Jesus, we see the Son, God's Son, represented and is the only Son of God in the flesh. In John 1:14, it says, "And the Word," also another name for Jesus, "became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen in his glory," or "we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." In John 3:16, probably one of the most quoted passages, you guys probably know this one already, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." In Matthew 16:16, Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so you have this admission from human lips. This is who you are. And then we move on to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God changes our hearts about our sin and empowers us to live as God intended. And Jesus taught about this when he said, "I have to go. If I don't go, this helper is not going to come." This helper's not going to come and live and do what it needs to do within you and your hearts. We see it in John 16, 7 through 11, says this. These are Jesus' words. Nevertheless, I will tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. And then again in John 14, 26, we see this. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. You guys staying with me so far? Is it kind of dry? No? Okay. All right. We're going to move on. So the Bible, the very thing that we teach out of every week, is the Word of God here. Would you disagree with that statement? Some might. Okay. The Bible is the Word of God, and at Whitewater we hold that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. We receive it as a living and active document within our world, and that's why we encourage so heavily that you read this thing cover to cover, and not just once, but that you make it a daily habit of study and a daily habit of just continually being in the Word and hearing what God has to say to your situation. And we're invited to grow closer through that scripture reading. It's represented in our core values that we've actually just come up with for God Dreams. And one of our core values is spirit-led biblical obedience. Okay? We regard scripture as the foundation of truth and embrace the necessity of the Holy Spirit's guidance in understanding and living out these truths. We also see it represented in spiritual formation. We participate in the process of God's redemption in our own lives. We experience the rich, abundant life of Jesus in increasing measure as we grow into who God made us to be. Again, we were created on purpose for a purpose. We do this by practicing spiritual disciplines, including but not limited to Bible reading, prayer, fasting, solitude, and authentic engagement in community with other disciples. We also see scripture reading laid out in adventure. If you read anything on our website, if you're new here, you saw Adventure Worship Community or Adventure Community Worship and Service on our website. And under Adventure, it says this, and Adventure is chasing after God. It says, discovering and living out the heart of God as revealed in the Word of God. Most of us, when we come to times of trials, we try to seek somebody out, and a lot of times within my counseling experience with you people and other people, they want to know, man, my life's a wreck. What do I do? And I say, Scripture says, no, something else. Do over. I don't want to love my neighbor. I don't want to forgive. I don't want to forget. I don't want to. I don't have the time to. I don't have the energy to. I know I should, but I. All of our frame of reference as a pastor, as a leader here, as anything that goes on here, whether it's worship, whether it's people that serve communion, whether it's people that are teaching our children, whether it's people that are making the coffee, all of this is centered in God-inspired scripture, in how we operate, who we are at our core. It's all coming from scripture. Again, this is why we encourage you, read. Read. Know what's in there beyond your go-to verses, right? We all have those verses that we pull out once in a while, or sometimes when we pray publicly, we pray that verse, and then people are like, pray more, and they're like, well, that's the only verse I know, right? Oh, crap, I need to learn a second one, right? Learn, read about this faith that you have, or should have, or are interested in having. Because everything comes out of that. The 66 books of the Bible were written by more than 40 authors. Okay, they didn't sit down and say, let's make a Bible. That's how they'd say it in Hebrew, right? Let's make a Bible. So it was written by more than 40 authors in different countries and in three different languages over a period of, get this, 1,600 years. in spite of the different authors, times, places, and languages, it has continuity and unity and relevance for us today. From beginning to the end, together, we search for and seek out to live the heart of God within the Word of God. Now, what you'll see here, and what you'll see out on that free book table, there are multiple translations of the Bible, okay? There are tons of different translations of the Bible, and some are really, really close to the original language, as close as we can with our American language, is getting back to the Hebrew, the Greek, right? We're trying to get back to that. And so a lot of those you'll see, like if you read the King James Version, right? It gets kind of wordy. Let's check it out. So this would be a one that they claim is really close to the original language. Now bear with me as I read this. I might stumble. I haven't read King James in ever, I think, right? So I just chose John 3:7-8 as an example. There's no reason as to why. It's just an example. It goes like this in the King James. "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Now, some of you started in this translation, and you said, "I'm not reading this crap anymore." You're laughing because you agree. Yeah, this is really hard. This is really hard to understand. This is a barrier to me. I'm not fluent in Shakespeare. I don't read the King's English, okay? We dumped their tea. We moved to America, so we didn't have to speak that kind of crap, right? That's what we did, right? But this version actually is very close to the original language, or is about as close as you can get, right? So then let's read it in the Message, which if you notice, throw up that chart again that had the scale here. So King James is over here. And then you go all the way over to the paraphrase. This is a word-for-word translation. You go all the way to the paraphrase, and that's the Message, okay? Let's read from the Message, the same verse, and see if you understand it a little bit better. "So don't be so surprised when I tell you that you have to be born from above, out of this world, so to speak. You know well enough how the wind blows this way and that. You hear it rustling through the trees, but you have no idea where it comes from or where it is headed next. That's the way it is with everyone born from above, by the wind of God, the Spirit of God." You see how it kind of cleans that up a little bit and makes it a little less clunky? But you're also getting a little further away from the original language, and you're getting more of a paraphrase version instead of a word-for-word translation, the best we can. Now, this whole gamut, show that chart again. In the middle here, we have NIV, right? I don't know, and then we have NASB and ESV. Those are actually what I study out of when I bring you the Word on Sunday mornings. I study out of those, and what you normally get taught out of is an NLT, which would be in between the thought for thought and the paraphrase version, or the NIV, which is more thought for thought, and a lot of times, too, the Message just cleans things up a little bit for us. The Message helps us understand things a little more, these trickier passages, and there's awesome Bible Gateway on the internet, the interwebs, Google box, okay? You can actually pull up all of these different translations side by side. And if you're having troubles in the ESV or the NASB, then you can start seeing, okay, well, what is the heart of God in this? By bringing up some of these translations that go more thought for thought and even into the paraphrase version. Now, this is where you don't want to get lost in the weeds. What is important is that you are reading. What is important is that we are learning, that we are hearing from the Word of God, this inspired Word, so that we can find the heart of God within everything that we're doing here. And what's going to happen is it's going to change your world as you begin to read. You're going to begin to see people as God sees people. It sucks sometimes, because sometimes He calls you to love the unlovable, only sometimes. That's a lie. You guys laugh. That's actually all the time. He's going to call you to places and things, weird churches that you never thought you might be a part of. They don't even have a church name. They have Whitewater, which we don't even have a river really around here with Whitewater, right? Why do they exist in Laramie? Shouldn't they be in Poudre Valley? Yes, we probably should, okay? But together as we search for these things, together as we move in these things, together as we look at the same material, we're going to know the heart of God better. Not only that, we're going to love better. We're going to love with the heart of God. We're going to love with God's intent. We're going to understand that we are created with a purpose for a purpose as we do these things. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says this about the Bible or just Scripture in general. They didn't have the Bible back then, okay? So here goes. 2 Timothy says this, "Every Scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." Man. "That the person dedicated to God may be capable and equipped for every good work." Can I read this again? This is how important the word is for you. This is how important the word is for me. "Every Scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the person dedicated to God may be capable and equipped for every good work." So as you come to Whitewater, you're going to realize that we rely heavily on this. And what else you're going to realize? What? That's poor grammar, right? I do good, right? The other things that you will realize here is that sometimes we actually get it wrong. Have you ever been to a church that got it right all the time? If you did, please go back to that. That's a precious thing. You need to hold on to that. Okay? Sometimes we get it wrong. And sometimes we need, sometimes, there's that word again. And every time we need each other to help steer us back to the heart of God. We need the Word of God. We need to see God for who He is and for who He says we are and for who He says and how we should be and where we should be. And that's what I'm praying over you today. I know this information can be a little dry. I know this information can be a little meh. But it means the world to you if you employ it. It means the world to us as we learn to live in community together as God intended. It means the world to everybody outside these walls, in your job, in your family, in your place of business, in your place of work, wherever you go, whether you're eating at Freddy's, right? This is life-changing, game-changing thoughts and ideas. And it all comes out of Scripture. And it all comes from the God who created you and loves you and has something great for you and everybody else around you. God, thank you for this time together. Thank you for how you reveal yourself in your word. Thank you for these people that are here, whether they know it or not. God, they are hungry for you at some level. Whether they understood that this is what they were going to be taught today or not, God, speak beyond this moment. Speak beyond the words that have been spoken today. Through your Holy Spirit, through the Word. God, I pray for people to just grab a translation. Start somewhere. God, that we would hear together corporately, that we would hear together individually what you have to say to your church, us. God, how you desire us to be, where you desire us to be, who you desire us to be. God, we thank you for the breath in our lungs. We thank you for the ability to get here this morning. God, may you continue those things in us so that we can give away everything freely that you've given us. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Awesome. If you look on your bulletins that you got when you walked in the door, hopefully, you will see digging deeper passages. If you want to take some time and look those up throughout the week and just check our math and check what we're doing is right, and learn more about this topic and these things about God and the Word and the Bible, do so. Read those things. And if you have any questions about any of this or you want to street fight me out in the parking lot, that's fine. Come talk to us, all right? Come talk. Don't leave with questions. Come and talk. I got one announcement. There's a new book study, and it's by an awesome author called C.S. Lewis. Anybody familiar? Wow-wee. It's by C.S. Lewis, and it's the book that they're going through is called The Problem of Pain by C.S. Lewis, and it's starting February 12th at 7 p.m. That's Tuesday nights at 7 p.m., and it's at Alec and Tristan's house. So if you have any, if you need any information or you want to possibly join this book study, come find me. I'll be up on stage afterwards. Come find me, and I will give you Alec and Tristan's phone numbers, and then let them know that you want to go. It's here in town. So it's going to be an awesome study. They just got done with, what was it, Francis Chan's Crazy Love? I lied. It was not a fan. Crazy Love was also written by Chan, yes? I'm not far off. Okay. You did Crazy Love a year ago. Okay. See? All right. I said all that to say I love you like crazy, and I pray that you guys show back up for the next 3 weeks to hear about who Whitewater is and how we move forward. And then we're going to go into the series, The Good and Beautiful Life. If you guys want to do something incredibly awesome that's going to bless you and the world around you, I would suggest you all buy a copy of James Brian Smith's The Good and Beautiful Life and do all the soul training exercises at the end of each chapter as we go through this together on Sunday mornings. It's going to rock your world in an awesome way, okay? Grace and peace.